Now, in past lessons, we've learned of the 48 upright boards of the tabernacle that surround the most holy place and the holy place. We've pictured these boards as upright soldiers facing toward the throne of God, facing toward those things in the most holy place which touch on God's character and God's holiness. So picture 48 boards, upright boards, 27 inches wide, 15 feet high, large, imposing boards, where God did not instruct Moses to anchor these large boards to the desert sands. And that's one of the things about the tabernacle. There was no anchoring of the tabernacle to the desert sands, for God wishes to communicate to us that we're a pilgrim people, we're a foreign people in this earth. We're not meant to be here for but a short time. And in these boards and in these anchors, God continues that example. For Moses was told to construct heavy silver foundations, and in these silver foundations was placed a mortise side of a mortise tenon connection, the tenons being placed on the bottom of the boards. And when the boards were set in these sockets, they meshed with the sockets. Now, each of the two sockets, there were two sockets under each board. Each of the two sockets upholding each board was made from one talent of silver. Anybody ever seen a talent of silver? Well, most people don't know how big a talent of silver is, how large it is, how heavy it is. We'll go into that and maybe give you a picture of what a talent of silver is. Now, where the silver came from is answered in Exodus 30, 11 through 16, where Moses instructed every man who was over the age of 20. Now, let's see, everybody's over the age of 20 except our two graduates. Now, the rest of you men over the age of 20, I hope you have a half shekel in your pocket.
I don't even know what a shekel is.
But this is where the silver came from. For God, in this Exodus passage, told Moses to instruct the men over the age of 20 to bring a half shekel of silver to the Lord. You know, it's amazing what you can accumulate if you take a little bit from everyone and put it into a big mass. And this is what happened here. For each person, each man over 20 was instructed to bring just a half shekel. Now, this half shekel was to be after the shekel of the sanctuary, which was equal to 20 gerahs. Now, the shekel was equal to 20 gerahs, so a half shekel would equal how many gerahs? 10. Okay, 10. Hello? Put your math hats on.
I left math a long time ago.
You know, math is a wonderful thing, isn't it, Ryan? Ryan loves math. But a half shekel was 10 gerahs. Now, 10, of course, is important in the scripture, for it indicates God's standard, and he demonstrated that to us by the Ten Commandments, which is God's divine standard of the law. Now, this money that was to come from every man 20 and above was to be atonement money for the souls of the people, for they were brought out of Egypt. by the Lord, and the Lord required of them one half shekel for this. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of like saying, now, folks, I'm going to take you out of Egypt, but it's going to cost you. I'm going to take you out of this land where the pressures are great, where you've been enslaved for many years, but it's not going to be free. Somebody's going to have to pay. Oh, what a lesson the Lord is teaching here. For God teaches here that there is a price to pay for deliverance. Deliverance does not come free. The poor as well as the rich were to pay the same amount for himself, and none could pay for another. The soul had to be redeemed with silver, and as it was, God promised to prevent plagues from coming upon them. You have to come up with a half shekel of silver, and the reason I'm charging you this half shekel of silver is because I delivered you from Egypt. You know, God always teaches lessons for long-range thinking. You pick up on this, that there is a lesson here that is meant for us for long-range thinking. You know, long-range thinking is thinking that takes place by faith. This world is built today on, you know, live your life today. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, let it all hang out. Do everything today. Enjoy yourself today. But God's word tells us the just shall live by faith. That's long-range thinking. Now we read of this transaction that God imposed upon the people in Exodus 30, 11 through 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Oh, you know, Moses heard the word of the Lord. Can you imagine being Moses and conversing with the Lord and hearing the Lord and recounting the word of God and putting it in the book? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when you take the sum of the children of Israel after their number, that's a census. God told him to take a census. Then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when you number them, that there be no plague among them, when you number them. This they shall give, every one that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. What's a half shekel?
10.
You got it, Phil. A half shekel shall be an offering of the Lord. Everyone that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord. There's a lesson there about salvation. You know, parents, you can't get saved for your children. Salvation is not a family affair. It's an individual response to the gospel. Now, you're in the equation for preparation for that transaction to occur, and you've got your responsibilities, but you can't give the half shekel. When they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So the money was to go into the tabernacle. Now we'll see where it was used, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now, silver in the Bible always speaks of atonement and redemption. It also speaks of ransom money and the price of a soul. What was Jesus sold for? 30 pieces of what? Silver. That was scriptural. Price of a slave, They were dickering, you know, well, how much should we pay this person? Well, they said, well, you know, you can't pay them any less than the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver. You read of this in Matthew 26, 15, and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Paid 30 pieces of silver to deliver Christ to them. Peter interprets this symbol for us in the new covenant when he writes in 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. See, we're moving into a new covenant here. The old covenant, they were redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But what were we redeemed with? But with the precious blood of Christ. You see, God exacted a price for your deliverance. He didn't just say, well, I'll just save this person, bring them into the kingdom. No, he said, there's a price to pay. Somebody's got to pay the price. In the Old Testament, each man above 20 paid a half a shekel. But in the New Testament, we don't deal with corruptible things. We deal with incorruptible things. And God said, I'll pay. I couldn't pay. You couldn't pay. God said, I'll pay. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So there's the connection between the silver of the Old Testament and the blood of the New Testament. The silver atonement of the Old Testament becomes the blood atonement of the New Covenant. You see, a price was exacted for your deliverance. You say, well, salvation was free. Yeah, it's free to you, but it wasn't free to Christ. Christ gave his blood for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the new covenant takes the place of the ransom money that was established under the old Mosaic covenant, expressed in the tabernacle God ordained Moses and the nation to build. His blood is our atonement. His blood is our ransom. His blood is our redemption and the price for our soul. You know, when God establishes a principle, he doesn't just cast it aside. The principle is there's a price to pay for deliverance. And Christ said, I'll pay the price. And this blood is the price by which we were bought. This is the standard that God has set for our redemption. The Bible says that Jesus came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, I thank the Lord for the blood. That word ransom has its root meaning in this old covenant tabernacle where the boards were placed in silver sockets. Get the imagery here. The boards were placed in silver sockets. The price of deliverance. The foundation for the boards was the ransom money. Likewise, we have been placed into his body through the precious blood of his sufferings on Calvary. Now, this is God's standard, and all must meet this standard. None can pay for another to get into the kingdom of God's Son. Same principle. No one can be numbered in the true church and with the saints unless they are redeemed with this price. we find that Calvary is the silver mine. Calvary is the vein of silver to which we all have access that we might obtain the price of atonement. As we find our place in Christ, God's judgment is stayed off our lives and eternal souls. And this is what is pictured in these boards. It's a picture of our redemption. So this glorious thought is given to us as to how God unfolded his great plan of redemption inside the tabernacle of Moses. This whole tabernacle was there to express God's plan of redemption leading to Christ. Another thought seen here in the silver is found in relation to the result of the numbering of the people. This is a wonderful passage here, because somehow God knew that the numbering of the people and the giving of a half shekel would result in what?
Sufficiency.
There's nothing left over. That last half shekel was put in, and maybe someone stood by and said, maybe we can put that into savings. You know, maybe we can put that in for a rainy day. But you know, there was no silver left over. God knew the numbering of the souls, and he knew that a half shekel from each of those would result in the exact amount of silver needed for the sockets and some other things that were connected with the boards. Now listen to this. Put your math hats on. Did you bring your math hat? Where is it? You got it on? Doesn't look like Betty's math hat. But I'll take it. I'll take it. Exodus 38, 25 through 28. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents. 100 talents. Where's 100 come from? Well, there's 96 boards. And there's 4 columns in the front of the veil with sockets. 96 plus 4. Math hats. What is it? 100. Oh, they're working. Pull them down tight. And 1,703 shekels were left over. So I got 100 talents. I got 1,775 shekels. So now I got enough for the boards and the columns, and I got some left over here. Abeka, verse 26, for each man, that is half a shekel. That's another name for a coin. You know, we have names for coins, don't we? Lots of different names. The English are good about that. They have lots of different names for different coins. Abeka for every man, that is half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men. So that's where the half shekels came from. That's the total population of men above 20. The women weren't counted. The children, the under the 20 weren't counted, just the men above 20. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their chapiters and filleted them. No leftover. Sufficiency here. Now, isn't that amazing? 603,550 men results in a collection of half that number in shekels, 301,000. 775 shekels of silver that were collected from this group of people, one half shekel from each person. Now, this amount of silver results in 100 talents. Remember, each socket was one talent. There were two sockets per board. So there were two sockets upholding each board. Now, that's important, too. That'll tell you something. So this amount of silver results in 100 talents plus a remainder of 1775 shekels. Now, somebody would say, now that points to America. Something happened in 1775. Wasn't it the Congressional Convention? Anyway, Constitutional Convention? For each talent was composed of 3,000 shekels. The weight of a talent of silver in pounds is not absolutely known. You go online and you find different weights for talents, but it's somewhere around 100 pounds. I've seen 94 pounds, I've seen 113 pounds, I've seen 150 pounds, but let's say it's somewhere around 100 pounds per talent. Now, using this figure would result in a shekel weighing around 1/2 ounce. Now, each man was to bring a half a shekel, which would be a little heavier than the weight of one of our silver quarters, which weighs about 0.22 ounces. So that's what you see when you see a half a shekel, somewhere around our quarter size. Now, we're told that each socket supporting the boards used up one talent, so the boards having two sockets per board used up 96 of the 100 talents of available silver. In addition, there were four sockets needed for the four pillars that upheld the veil at the entrance of the holy place. So all 100 sockets or all 100 talents were consumed. Now, from previous calculations, each socket weighed about 100 pounds. That's a pretty good load for a man, but it's doable. You know, those fellows were wiry, and they were slaves, and they laid brick, and, you know, so they had enough wherewithal to carry and lift that socket at 100 pounds. Now, 100 pounds of silver has a volume of 263 cubic inches, and each socket held up 1/2 of each 27-inch board. So let's assume that its length was half the board. That would be 13.5 inches. Well, if you take that and you put it into the volume, you'll come up with perhaps a width of 4 inches and a depth of 5 inches. So picture a block, a talent of silver, at about 13.5 inches, 5 inches deep, and 4 inches wide, holding up half of a board. And that's what you see here. The sockets were substantial. The sockets were heavy, and there were two assigned to each board. So all the silver used for atonement was used up in the sockets, with the exception of that leftover 1,775 shekels. And we're told that God told Moses to set those aside for the hooks, the chapiters, the connecting rods in the pillars of the outer court. So every half shekel was honored as atonement money. Wasn't put aside, it was sufficient for the job. Now, if each socket was comprised of 3,000 shekels, then each socket represented the redemption price of 6,000 souls. Half shekel into 3,000 is 6,000. How many were each board? Two. Multiply 6 times 2, you get 12,000 souls represented in each board. Where do we get 12,000 souls? Where is that pictured in the scriptures? Well, it's pictured in the book of Revelation. 12,000 of each tribe of Israel are redeemed from the earth to go forth and spread the word of the Lord during the great tribulation. Revelation 7, 1 through 8, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, and so on. And I heard in verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. He went on in all the tribe, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000. So there's a little connection there with the scriptures as to the 12,000 of each tribe. Now, these sockets were the very foundation for the tabernacle. The boards, we said, had two tenons. Remember we said the tenon and mortise and tenon connection is like the hands that join together. That's really a derivation of mortise and tenon, hands, and a mortise and a tenon. A hole and an insert into the hole, mortise and tenon connection. There were two tenons on the boards going down into the sockets, and the sockets of silver were the foundation or standing place for these boards, and no board had its feet in the desert sands of this world, but each stood in redemption metal. It shows the exclusiveness of God. There was no board skipped and no board allowed to be in the desert sands. Every board had to be in its redemption metal. You know, when you appear before the throne of God, God's going to look at what you're standing on. And if you're not standing on the blood of Christ, depart from me. I never knew you. You're not a valid board in the eyes of God. Our foundation is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And it also shows us that our foundation must never be upon this earth, for God knows that this earth will fail. Don't you love God for giving us a immovable foundation? You know, you think about all the things that are taking place, those poor folks up in Alabama, those poor folks up in Joplin. When you think about it, you think about your home as a foundational place, don't you? You go there every day. You rest your head on your pillow or pillows. As you get older, you have more pillows. I was told by my Norwegian cousin when he was a boy of my aunt. And he always thought that Americans used a lot of pillows, because when she came over, she had five or six pillows. But anyway, our home is our foundational place, isn't it? And yet the winds can take that foundation and blow it apart, like we've seen so recently. But we as believers must never forget that our salvation and redemption does not hinge on this world system or the world's economy. Oh, the world is so afraid of its foundation. Its foundation is its economy, isn't it? And the countries are shivering and shaking because the foundations are shaking. But we're standing on the blood foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we're told in the scriptures that all other foundations are as sinking sands. You know, Moses laid the foundation of silver and atonement for the old covenant tabernacle, which showed us which was to come. The Bible says those things that are from the Old Testament are a shadow of that which is to come. And we see this same thing where the Apostle Paul lays the proper foundation of blood atonement for the church in Matthew 7, 24, 29. Apostle Paul, it was the Lord. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And in Isaiah 28:16 he says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So that's what's pictured in the tabernacle, that foundation. It's pictured in the New Testament as the foundation of Christ and Christ's blood. And that's our foundation. That is what we stand upon. Now, further in this study, we're told on how the boards were to be held up. Even in this, we see God's stabilizing hand upon us. For God told Moses how to keep the 10-cubit high boards vertical, how to keep them straight, how to tie them together with bars inserted through rings, which would provide stability. We find this command in Exodus 26, 26 through 29. And thou shalt make, and this is where the 1,775 shekels of silver are to be used for the rings and other things. And thou shalt make bars of chittim wood, five for the boards on the one side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle, for the two sides westward, and the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars, and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. Now, if you picture on each side of the tabernacle, there were 20 boards, 27 inches wide each, 2 feet, 3 inches. And it says here that God instructed that there be five bars upon the sides of this 20 boards. So there were two bars up at the top that didn't reach to the middle, two bars at the bottom, and then one bar that went all the way through. And these bars were there through rings of gold attached to the boards. So as they were inserted, they would provide bracing so that the boards wouldn't tip individually, but they would act as a unit. You know, we said before that the boards are symbolic of the church, of the body of Christ, and how the body of Christ is to be working together. And that's what this symbolizes. And without these brace bars, the structure would be susceptible to every desert wind that came along. And as the bars fulfilled their mission, the tabernacle would stand for sure. And just in the demonstration of these bars, they provide that structural strength so that the individual boards will not fail. And it speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ providing stability in the midst of our trials and the winds of life. Now, the interesting bar, one of the interesting bars is the middle bar. In speaking of this bar, the scripture says, the middle bar is in the midst of the boards, shall reach from end to end. And then in Exodus 36, where the details, the actual details of the building are recorded, it says, he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from one end to the other. Now you read of this in Exodus 36, 31 through 34. And he made bars of chittim wood, five for the boards on the one side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the sides westward. Remember, there were three sides of boards. And he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from the one end to the other. And he overlaid the boards with gold and made their rings of gold to be places for the bars and overlaid the bars with gold. So some surmise that the fact that Moses was told to shoot this middle bar through the boards indicates that there may have been a hole drilled through the board widthwise, and that bar went through that hole. Now, structurally, that would be the best way to hold up those boards together, because now they were unified. There was no slack. There was no rings to have any slack in them. So perhaps this was the case. So the five bars then on each side were used to stabilize the whole structure and keep it from being shaken by every wind that came across. Everything that God did in the tabernacle was to communicate to us his relationship to us, how he would stabilize us. You know, it's wonderful to be able to call upon the Lord in any situation, in any trial. Paul captured this thought in Ephesians 4, 14 through 16, and we'll stop there. And he said this, that we henceforth be no more children. In other words, mature boards, upright boards, vertical boards, perpendicular boards, tossed to and fro. One of the things that you'll find as you mature in trust is that you're not tossed to and fro. Because as you trust God, you know that God will keep you straight. He'll keep you vertical. He'll keep you true, regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, if you know the scriptures, like our pastor said the other day about knowing the real thing when you're studying the currency. If you know the currency, you'll know every false way. If you know the scriptures, you'll not be taken in by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. Oh, it's so easy to be captured by the sleight of men. There are so many glib talkers out there that will tell you something new. Everybody wants something new. Well, I don't want something new. I want something old. I want the ancient landmarks. Cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, it's like an animal waiting for, I've seen these little lizards there. I have a lizard on one of the branches outside the kitchen window, and he goes out there and he expands his throat. I'm not sure what that's all about. I think it's to make him beautiful or something. But he's waiting, he's lying in wait for some little creature grabs him. Lying in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. See that tabernacle fitly joined together, how it was stabilized with those bars and the sockets indicating the blood of Christ, that foundation upon which we're laid, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And again in Ephesians 2, 20 and 22, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful picture that was given to us in the tabernacle that is fully expressed in the body of Christ? So we can learn how to be a part of the body of Christ. You know, we're not an individual board, but we're also part of the body. You know, we look out for each other. We help each other. We run to the person that is hurting, just like you would with your own body. You know, oh, I cut myself. Give me a Band-Aid. You don't just say, I got 9 other fingers. No, we run to that aid. And that's the thing that we're given to us here in this picture. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. The Bible is wonderful, Father. Your word is wonderful. We don't have to be blind. We don't have to be ignorant. We don't have to be blown to and fro, but we can learn to trust. And we will be stabilized, Father, the more we learn, the more we walk according to the light of the Word of God. Do bless us now as we go to our service, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.